everyone, it's Alexa.
And Catherine.
And we're the girls behind Tickets, Please. And on today's episode, we're talking about Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. All right, so, well...
I purposely don't know what any of the criticisms of this are, other than some people saying that Rian Johnson hates Star Wars, which I very much believe is the opposite. I think he deeply loves it. But I can see what some of the criticisms probably are. I can see on your face, and you said something to me before, like, you want to know ultimately whether I liked it or not.
Yeah.
And my answer is yes, but with an asterisk.
Okay.
So I think that this was incredibly brave, incredibly ambitious. I think it was expansive. He attempted to drive Star Wars into its next evolution. And whether he did that successfully or not, I think is probably where the debate comes in.
Yes.
And in some ways, I think he did. And in other ways, I think probably not. You know way more than me in terms of plot points and whether they align with what character motivations would be or should be. You can dissect that way better than me, and I'm sure that you will.
So you're 100% right. You're speaking to actually what people who love this cling to most, and it's that he is attempting, or they think successfully, expanding and pushing what Star Wars is. But can you, what is it that you picked up on that you're getting that feeling? Because I actually miss it completely. And that, I think, is what, in addition to all of the things that I actually think are wrong with it, I'm missing what they're seeing in this pushing Star Wars into that new. I don't see that at all. I don't get wow. any okay. of that.
Okay. So the first thing I would say is that the tone feels so, so different.
Yes.
Than every other one. I could tell that J.J. Abrams was attempting to make it feel like it belonged with mm-hmm. the other ones. And I'm sure Rian was too. But this feels like more like, in quotes, a movie than any of them. And that's both good and bad.
Okay. Uh-huh. It didn't feel a little bit like it was doing that Marvel thing that happens.
Yes.
But isn't that bad?
There were many, many moments that felt like Marvel. And I do think that is bad-ish.
I do, because to me, that makes it feel less movie-like.
I think when I say movie, that is what I mean.
Oh,
okay. And that's why, actually, that it's like both a good thing and a bad thing. Because we think Endgame was like,
yes. Was, like, yes.
iconic. So, like,
yeah.
So there are ways in which it was grander and felt more like that
mm-hmm.
that I can appreciate in a vacuum. When I look at it within the canon, it's like the first ones, as silly and campy as they were, mm-hmm. actually felt like films in a way.
Yes. You know?
This
yes.
is a movie. This
yes.
is like, this feels like if you're not eating popcorn while you're watching this, you're doing something wrong.
The first moment that does it for you is when Poe makes the joke to Admiral Hux, or he calls him Hugs. It's that joke, that back and forth joke that he has with him over the intercom where he's pretending that he's on hold for him and is actually talking to him.
Hi, I'm holding for General Hugs.
This is Hux. You and your friends are doomed. We will wipe your filth from the galaxy.
Okay, I'll hold.
Hello?
Hello? Yep, I'm still here.
Can he hear me?
Hugs?
He can.
With an H, skinny guy, kind of pasty.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Look, I can't hold forever. If you reach him, tell him Leia has an urgent
message for him.
I believe he's tooling with you, sir.
About his mother.
That is the moment where it feels as though I'm watching a Marvel movie.
Like, you couldn't have, yeah, like.
And it's right in the first 5 minutes, too. So it immediately feels like that.
And there are a lot of those moments. But that example is actually probably the best one. And I think for people like you who have loved this since they were children and hold it in a very specific place, mm-hmm. that maybe is not a good thing.
Yeah. And it's not, I don't want to be, and I don't think you are, but just for the wider, I don't want to be one of the lumped in with one of those people that thinks that it can't change at all. I understand that it should evolve. It needs to evolve. But the point of these is that they're supposed to be modern movies and they are going to feel and be different. But I think that J.J. Abrams did a better job of balancing the act of it feeling nostalgic while still, because he had jokes like in The Force Awakens when Poe gets captured and he's with, I think it's Kylo Ren. He's like, who talks first? Is it you talk first? I talk first? That's a joke from The Force Awakens that is a little Marvel-y, but it's not so much. And it's not as often that it makes the whole thing have that tone.
Yeah, and there were aspects of it that overall felt too modern and almost too of the moment or something. Like, I don't want to be able to pinpoint it to today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the original ones, you can pinpoint to a time.
Yeah.
I don't mind being able to pin them to a time, but I don't want to pin them to, like, last year.
Yeah. So now go on to your what gave you that feeling of expansiveness.
So going back, because the feeling of expansiveness is different than the feeling of bringing it into a new another place where I felt that was Luke's whole conversation with Rey about why Jedis should not exist anymore. I was almost like bracing myself because I could feel some of the fans saying like, why are you dismantling this?
Yeah.
But I could also feel the shift or the desire to have these conversations like for that purpose, like to push it forward.
Got it.
I also felt it when Kylo killed the Supreme Leader. That felt big, mostly because there was an emotional shift of him into power. I don't think in any of the other ones, it felt like it was an unfamiliar feeling. Not even in Star Wars, but in general, to see someone, whether it's a villain or not, kill the most powerful person, and then to actually feel the emotional transition of that person into power.
Wow, that is really true.
And that felt like, I guess it was, but it felt like a changing of the guard.
Right, like he was really seizing the throne in that real sense, like literally and then figuratively as well.
And then what's his name sort of says to him,
who do you think you're talking to? You presume to command my army? Our supreme leader is dead. We have no ruler.
The supreme leader is dead.
Long live the supreme leader.
And then when he says to Rey that whole thing about,
it's time to let old things die. Snoke, Skywalker, the Sith, the Jedi, the Rebels, let it all die. Rey, I want you to join me. We can rule together and bring a new order to the galaxy.
Don't do this, Ben. Please don't go this way.
No, you're still holding on! Let go!
It was a little in your face. You know, it wasn't subtle. But I kind of think it worked. That also felt like a shift. It was like these pieces here and there as it went on. You know when you go hiking?
Yeah.
And you're on the top of the mountain and you point to where you started and you're like, holy shit, like, that's what it felt like.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. I think what is the biggest struggle for me is that we have spent nearly every episode talking about how Star Wars at its core is a hero's journey. To that, why it's come up so many times is because it is almost overly simplistic in that it's following one person and their journey from like self-discovery and coming to their actualization and like learning and growing, and then they're reaching their full potential. And that simplicity at its core, I think, is so fundamental to each of the movies that to try and subjugate that, fine, like, that's good for you that you're doing that and amazing that you're trying something new, but it feels like you're taking the actual core of what Star Wars is and removing it.
I don't know if you mentioned this yet, but if you didn't mention it, you definitely feel it. Where's the sentimentality?
Yes.
You could not be more right in saying that those things are fundamental to what Star Wars is. And in a lot of ways, they were lacking.
Yeah, because if he's going to move in that direction, maybe it's fine. But the way he did it didn't feel fine. When they burn that Jedi temple down and Yoda says, you have to forget it, they don't do it in a way that feels comfortable to move on.
It doesn't feel honoring.
Yes, it doesn't feel like, and it also doesn't feel like we're certain and sure of where we're moving towards. It doesn't, I don't feel as though we're moving in a good direction where I'm like, okay, this still feels as though we're capturing the magic and what needs to be there to feel like we're still part of the same story while we're throwing away and kind of just guarding the things that we all held dear up until this point. If he was going to do that, it doesn't feel like it was done right.
I don't want to claim to understand Rian Johnson's motivations, but I think that was intentional.
Like to discard it non-honoring.
Not non-honoring. I don't think that's what he thought it was, but I do think that he wanted the audience to feel like they had to give something up to make room for something else. That's one of the core facets of Buddhism, of Stoicism, right?
Uh-huh.
Is to let go.
Yeah.
And trust. And I think knowing the little bit that we know about him and the way his mind works, I just feel like that was a decision he made.
Mm.
There's more wisdom woven through this than I think a lot of us are seeing, because mm-hmm. everything else is so going and flashing and this is over there and that person's doing this. And like, I don't know, maybe I'm overestimating him. I don't know. But to go back to what you were saying, the way that I described it in my mind, as I was watching some of the scenes that felt so like, what, is that it felt a little bit outside of itself.
I don't know. It just doesn't feel as though it was all moving in a cohesive forward direction that was clear what we were doing. What are we doing?
I think he was saying, like, trust me, I'm taking you where we're going.
I think
that's what he was saying. I do.
I
could be wrong, and I'm okay with that if that's the case, but
I don't know. I know for me, one of the big moments where I thought, truly, what am I watching? What are we doing? Is when they were on that balcony in that casino planet talking about the warmongers selling their weapons to the New Order.
Was insane.
I was like, what is going on in this movie?
My sister and I grew up in a poor mining system. The First Order stripped our ore to finance their military, then shelled us to test their weapons. They took everything we had. And who do you think these people are? There's only one business in the galaxy that'll get you this rich.
War.
Selling weapons to the First Order.
Benicio del Toro talking about arms dealers needed to be somewhere else.
What is happening?
What was he even doing there? Very funny, by the way, actually.
He was really perfectly cast
for that character.
He was very funny, but ultimately, what is he doing there?
And why did we see Justin Theroux for 45 seconds?
We don't know.
Is he coming back in the next
one?
I hope not.
No. He was the person we needed to see. We never met him. We never saw him. They never got into contact with him because they found he, by the way, was the Codebreaker, one of the only people in the world who could do what they were doing until they happened upon another one in the cell that they're in who can also do what they're doing.
Right.
I mean,
but he couldn't really, though. Wasn't that kind of the thing?
No, like he could. He just, it was when they got caught, he made the deal.
Oh, right. Okay. That was actually, that whole scene in that city was one of the moments where I thought, whoa, this is different. But it just felt like if James Bond did Star Wars.
Yes, it did not feel authentic at all. The things they ride, it felt close. But something was off there, too. They didn't feel inherent to the world and what would be there. And I don't know. There was something close but no cigar about that whole planet that they go to. I didn't like any of that. What I did like about it is that it seemed like it was trying to capture what is in all of the rest of them, which is when they like adventure off to some weird planet that's like hyper specific, where this is the casino planet and that's all they do is that they're in casinos all the time and it's all one big city and that's what it looks like. So I did like that, but there was just something off about the way it looked and the way it felt, and it was just off.
It was cool to watch them riding those things on the beach and see the two moons, but then 30 seconds later they're almost getting thrown over a cliff and I'm like, you guys. So I know that for the most part, you really are not a fan of this one, but I don't totally know why.
The core reason is Luke.
And the way he's acting, or?
Yes. To use the word mischaracterization, I think is beyond. It is so, I don't know who this is, but it's not Luke Skywalker. There is an argument to be made where I could see how he's arriving at this is, you could track it, because I'm not even going to sit here and pretend that Luke hasn't been discouraged and that we haven't seen. We've talked extensively about how Luke whines, Luke gets beaten down, Luke is easily dissuaded.
Overdramatic.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. But this nihilistic version of him where he believes that he's done, he's closed himself off from the Force, he thinks there's no hope, the way he talks so detached from what happened previously, even the way he tells the story of what happened between him and Ben, the scene where he describes what happened to the Jedi and the quote rise of Darth Vader as if he's not talking about his father who he claimed to love is insane.
If you strip away the myth and look at their deeds, the legacy of the Jedi is failure. Hypocrisy, hubris.
That's not true.
At the height of their powers, they allowed Darth Sidious to rise, create the Empire, and wipe them out. It was a Jedi Master who was responsible for the training and creation of Darth Vader.
And a Jedi who saved him. Yes, the most hated man in the galaxy, but you saw there was conflict inside him. You believed that he wasn't gone, that he could be turned.
And I became a legend.
It is such a bad misunderstanding of what the hero of the original trilogy is so egregious to me that I couldn't even, for the first time watching it, I barely even paid attention to anything that was going on because I was so honestly distraught of what they were doing to him that I couldn't focus on anything else.
So why do you think he did it this way? I guess what I'm asking is, do you think he's saying that what happened with Ben was so traumatizing and upsetting that it's affected him to this extent? Is that what
he's saying? I think so. And I don't even think that that path is even wrong. I don't even disagree with that those story points. I think there's a way in which he could have done that.
How would you have done it?
I would have just done it where he thinks that maybe he's too powerful, gone that route, that it's too powerful. It can't be. He's not a good enough
teacher.
It can't
be done.
It can't be taught. He wasn't a fully formed Jedi enough to teach everybody. He wasn't successful enough in the Force, or something where it's almost like he's lost his confidence more than he's turned his back on what he built his life around. The people he loves, Luke Skywalker would never, ever have abandoned Han and Leia and his family. There's just no way. If somebody came to his new home and said, your sister has sent me, she needs your help, there is zero chance, not even asked a question. He's like, no, I can't help you. I'm not even answering the door. Not the Luke that we saw, not the Luke that I know, not a chance. That is not who he is. That cynical side of him, he didn't have that. He was not cynical. He was the one that was Han's thing. Han was the one that was like, what are you talking about, kid? You don't know what you're saying. That's a dreamer's thing.
We've got to do something.
What are you talking about?
The droids belong to her. She's the one in the message. We got to help her.
Now look, don't get any funny ideas. The old man wants us to wait right here.
But he didn't know she was here.
Come with us. Pretty good in a fight. Could use you.
Come on. Why don't you take a look around? You know what's about to happen, what they're up against.
They could use a good pilot like you. You're turning your back on them.
He was always the one that was looking to think that things could be done that couldn't. Luke was always the one that was pushing everybody to do the impossible. He's the one that destroyed the Death Star when nobody thought that it could be done, and was begging Ben to teach him how to be a Jedi when he didn't think that maybe it should be done. Left his home to become a Jedi and saved a princess that he didn't know. And all of those things are becoming this guy, this recluse who says that the Jedi should be dead and I'm not going to teach anybody, all because his nephew, who he still loves. And the biggest thing that is ridiculous is that he thinks that there's not still good in Ben. Let me get this straight. He spent 3 movies.
Wait, no, that's not true. That's not true.
That is true. He said that the evil was too great in him and that he couldn't control it.
Yeah, but that's different than saying there's no good in him.
But what I'm saying is he didn't think he was conflicted enough to work through it, but his father, who he didn't know, was. Doesn't make any sense. So he flees the scene. So Darth Vader, he's going to work that whole time to turn him back. He was the supreme leader of the Galactic Empire. His father, who he spent no time with, he was like, there's good in him. I know it. And he fought to show him that he was a good person.
I've accepted the truth that you were once Anakin Skywalker, my father.
That name no longer has any meaning for me.
It is the name of your true self you've only forgotten. I know there is good in you. The Emperor hasn't driven it from you fully.
And his nephew, who he loves and spent this time training, he's not going to try it all. He's just going to leave. That is ridiculous. It doesn't even make any sense. It's absurd. It's so upsetting. I wrote down a quote that he has because, honestly, when Rey first gets there, he says,
"Think what? I'm going to walk out with a laser sword and face down the whole First Order?"
What? That, first of all, why is he calling it a laser sword? Never heard anyone call it a laser sword, first of all.
I didn't even catch that. That's so funny.
A laser sword? Second of all, actually, Luke, yeah, that's kind of what we were thinking. You did that before. He was nearly the single-handed reason that they took down the Empire in the first place. We kind of were hoping that you would come and help, and that this would be the thing that helps us take down the First Order. Now that you mention it, it's time for the Jedi to end. He must have said it 1,500 times. Why? What is that doing? And to me, just Ben turning to the dark side wouldn't have caused that. It would have manifested in some other way. He would have felt like he failed. He would have taken that on for him. He says that, like, he says the words, like, I failed him. But that's his actions then don't speak to someone who's failed. It seems like someone who's given up on his belief in everything. And that's not what I think would happen as a result of him not able to train Ben properly. He would take it on as a personal affront of his abilities and talents and ability to wield the Force. It wouldn't cause him to lose trust in the Force in general. And this does. And I just...
When we see that flashback to him standing over him and he explains that he sort of was going to kill him and then stopped himself,
which I also think is a real big stretch to be taking. I think that's kind of insane. That is a huge leap for us to take, that they're gonna just put in.
What I wonder is if you could believe that, right? Like, if you could say, sure, okay,
I'm taking that as fact. He's
because
telling me
of
it
the
happened.
Circumstances, yeah. this is how this played out. I think that makes where he ended up more believable, because it wasn't just that he failed him in his training, but it was also that he almost killed him.
Yeah.
And that was so foreign to who he is and the people he loves and what he believes, that it shook his own belief and understanding in himself and who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what you're saying. I think everything you're saying is, like, yes, but that, because something like that is so drastically out of character for him, to me, that makes it believable enough that realizing what he almost did could push him to this place.
I think what's also difficult to wrap my head around is that it doesn't seem like Luke would be naive enough to think that the Jedi ending would benefit. Okay, so the Jedi ending, thinking that through to the end, the New Order still exists, Ben's still out there. It just doesn't seem as though Luke's decision...
He's disillusioned. You're right in saying that it doesn't make sense, because it doesn't make sense. That's how far gone and far into this mindset he's gotten himself. Over how many years has it been? He's been there up there alone telling himself this story.
Yeah.
Reinforcing this belief. It's not like he had this thing with Ben and then went up there and a week later he's like, the Jedi are done. That's it. Like, yeah. This is years of ruminating that he's gotten to this place, like that this is the only answer then. I mean, he's wrong, but...
And then he teaches Rey anyway. Watching him through the whole movie is distressing, honestly. Every scene is wrong. Well, one thing I could tell you I despised from moment one, the worst moment in all of Star Wars, tossing the lightsaber behind him. That has absolutely no fucking business being in this movie. Being a part of any Star Wars. I don't know what the hell he was thinking doing that, but it needed to be cut. That somebody needed to step in for that.
It was blasphemous.
It was awful. I don't know how they allowed to do it.
And then within what's got to be 90 seconds, he's milking, what are they called? Well, he's milking something.
And it's gross.
Not only is he milking it, but he's drinking it, letting it drip down his beard, and making the weirdest face while he's doing it.
That lightsaber throwing, I swear to God, I almost walked out the theater. I was indignant.
It's not just that he did it. It's not just that he threw it over his shoulder. It's the way that he did it.
He was peeved about this whole thing.
Oh, really?
And I will not lie. That's what does give me a weird confirmation bias. Mark Hamill has spoken outwardly about how he feels that he does not like anything that went on in this. He fought pretty hard with Rian Johnson over it. He said, I really don't think that I don't know about that moment. I don't think he spoke specifically about that moment, but about Luke in general, he gave comments about it. I think at some kind of Comic-Con that year or the year after, he gave press about how he had a lot of discussions with Rian about how he really did not agree with what he was doing with the character.
That breaks my heart, actually.
And that he was like, I don't think Luke would say or do this, and it was not in his control. He said later that he has kind of changed a little bit of how he felt about it with time, but I think that he probably says that just so that people stop feeding the fire of that, you know, Mark Hamill said that this isn't how, you know, because people really got behind that. But which I guess, you know, kudos to Rian. When you got Mark Hamill telling you that this ain't how it's going to go and you're just like, nope, it is. I mean, do you, buddy? His acting was much better in this than it was in the originals, though, I will say, because he had some very funny lines when he was talking to Rey. when he does agree to train her, and then he's they're at their first lesson and she sits down on the rock and he tells her to reach out. She puts her hand out and then he taunts her with the little leaf thing that he has. That was hysterical, the way he's like,
now reach out.
I feel something.
You feel it?
Yes, I feel it.
That's the force.
Really?
Wow, it must be really strong with you.
I've never felt any... Ow!
He meant reach out, like.
And then he hits her with it. Very good.
I thought it was so cute and funny, too, when he says,
what do you know about the Force?
It's a power that Jedi have that lets them control people and make things float.
Impressive. Every word in that sense was wrong.
The way he delivered that line was so perfect. Mm-hmm. So much so that when he says it later on, it's supposed to be a callback, but I almost was like, no, don't say it again. It was so good the way it was.
What I think is so funny is that typically when a movie does callbacks like that, it'll usually be because someone said it to him and then he's saying it to someone else. It's hysterical to me that he just said it twice.
The Resistance is dead. The war is over, and when I kill you, I will have killed the last Jedi.
Amazing. Every word of what you just said was wrong.
There were a bunch of lines that I loved or thought were funny, but there were also a bunch that I thought were so, so bad and cringy that I couldn't believe it.
Oh my God, tell me.
Benicio says to BB-8,
"What's your story, Roundy?"
Which, by the way, shortly after that, one of those guards throws BB-8, and I was like, "You son of a bitch, I'm coming over there."
I'm coming over there.
Right after that, we have Finn climbing out of, I don't even know where, but he turns and looks back and says, "That smelled great."
Yeah, it was a sewer. Why? That they were in.
Why? Why?
I don't know. I think the most cringy line in the whole thing is what's supposed to be the climactic moment between him and Rose, right?
"I saved you. That's how we're gonna win. Not fighting what we hate. Saving what we love."
I can't be upset about that because I'm more upset about the fact that she kissed him. They are friends. What are you doing? Oh, I think this was one of Laura Dern's lines.
Oh boy.
"Godspeed, Rebel."
Shut up. What are you doing? You are an award-winning actress. Are you okay? Oh, I thought it was so cute when they put BB-8 in jail. They put that black box over him.
Yes.
And he was like beeping around him.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Speaking of beeps, when in the very opening scene, when he's on his first mission with Poe and he's beeping about something, Poe says,
"Happy beeps here, buddy. Come on."
I actually also really liked it when Rey said to Chewie, "If you see Finn before I do," and then Chewie grumbles and she says, "Yeah, perfect, tell him that."
Yeah.
It was put in there for it to be a conversation for the ages, right? Of
yes.
Like what was
right.
it?
Yeah.
But for me, it worked.
I don't disagree with you.
Oh my God. Chewie was so funny. Not only was he so funny, but at the end, during all the chaos and the fight scenes and stuff, that he's letting out his, the captions call it a growl, but I feel like that's not really the right word for it.
Yeah, what
is the real word?
Internet doesn't seem to have a consensus.
Yeah. All right. Well, growls, I guess.
I guess growls it is.
When he does that big growl, and then what is that little creature called?
The pork, I think is what it's called, right?
And then the little guy imitates his growl, like he's getting tough too. That was really cute. But then a couple minutes later, they have him slam his face to that window and we see him from the outside. His face is all smushed up and it was too, I don't know, it was like too silly.
It was cartoony. We really tripled down on the creatures. There was a lot of them. They had the things on the casino planet that they ride, and then the ice foxes. They were pretty cool, but the ice foxes,
cool.
And then the things on the Jedi planet, and there was just a lot of alien type creatures.
I love the ice fox squeezing through the boulders.
Yeah, that was cool.
I watched that multiple times.
It was cool.
And then I have many other quotes that I liked, but another absolutely ridiculous line, probably the most ridiculous of the whole thing. "Let's go, Chrome Dome."
Who? What is that? What is the context of that line even? Who
Somebody
said it?
Somebody says it to the what was Finn before he turned into a good guy? The stormtrooper that's in
Phasma.
Silver. Yeah.
Oh,
somebody says that.
My God.
Also, I have a question about that.
Sure.
Is Phasma a guy?
No, it's Gwendolyn Christie.
Okay, then that's what I thought it was a woman the whole time, but then toward the very end, I got confused at the end of that. She dies, right?
Yes.
Why do we see her eye?
It's a great question.
Just to get a sense of like,
just that
her
it's
humanity
a person, I guess, to remind us that stormtroopers are people.
I was like, is this supposed to be somebody we know? Was it actually somebody other than who they thought it was
no.
all along?
No, it's just, I think it's just that reminder that it is a person.
"You're a ball kicking the system.
Let's go, Chrome Dome."
I don't have any cringy quotes written down, but amazing how Yoda's in it for 5 minutes and responsible for two of the best quotes in the whole thing. First of all, he's absolutely hysterical when he comes in. I love the way he says,
"Skywalker, mister, have I."
I think it's so cute the way he says it. And then when he destroys a Jedi temple and is maniacally laughing, the way he laughs on that rock, it is so funny.
Ha ha ha!
And his banter about the book.
For you to look past a pile of old books. The sacred Jedi texts.
Oh, read them, have you?
Well, page turners, they were not.
But then, of course, he drops two just goldmine wisdom gems on Luke when he tells him.
Heeded my words not, did you? Pass on what you have learned. Strength, mastery, but weakness, folly, failure also. Yes, failure most of all. The greatest teacher, failure is.
Once again, you didn't do what I said because you taught them how to be strong and be Jedi, but you failed to pass along your failures as well. And then when they're panning away from them, when he tells them.
We are what they grow beyond. That is the true burden of all masters.
5 minutes, you two all-time bangers from Yoda. Were you so excited to see him when you saw his little ears as they panned across?
Beyond. I don't want him to go.
He was spot on. He looked the same and he acted right. I thought that scene should have been twice as long. This was a small thing, but Luke asking where Han was, I thought it was bizarre that Luke wouldn't have felt it. Oh, but he's closed himself off from the Force. He doesn't feel anything.
Yeah. And also, I almost think if he had felt something, he wouldn't have wanted to believe it.
I guess that's true.
Another quote that I actually really liked was,
"Let the past die. Kill it if you have to. That's the only way to become what you were meant to be."
Oh my God, actually. That's what we were talking about. I didn't even realize that until this moment. When Adam turned around shirtless.
Please.
I was like, this is where the Burberry campaign came from. They said, get that man a horse. Call him today. Leave him. He can't even take a shower. Get there today with an ocean and a horse and get him on it.
That's a perfect segue to one of the only things that I love. Something that Ryan introduces that I think is brilliant. Rey and Kylo's connection. The choice to have them have these telepathic horse conversations that eventually lead to them being able to physically connect when they're not together. Absolutely brilliant.
The sexual tension in their telepathy. I have a line written down. I need to know, by the way, if this had the effect on you that it had. Like, is this a universal thing? Or
what?
Am I just
the
like
the two of them?
Well, that, yes, but this line in particular.
Oh, okay, yeah.
When
okay,
she says,
I know everything I need to know about you.
You do? You do.
I have fucking the way he says it, like, my clothes took themselves off my body. I watched at least four times. I will be watching it again. You probably haven't heard this because you're not on Book Talk.
A little bit, because sometimes I watch the videos even though I read none of the books and know anything. I like hearing people's reactions to stuff.
By the way, I have to say how much I hate that people just add the word talk to whatever thing they're talking about. It's like adding gate to everything.
Yes.
But anyway, on Book Talk, they're often talking about the kinds of guys who will talk you through it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If you already played that clip, you have to put it again.
You do? You do.
How much did the scar do? Come on.
Please. Come on. Even in the beginning, before it got fixed, when it was, what was that? Like,
it was some kind of mesh bandage. When they showed him and he took the mask off and he had that, I was like, oh, I don't remember this. I didn't remember that he had that on. And so then when they showed that he got stitched up, I was, oh, okay. Because I had no memory of that black bandage he had on.
I was so thrilled when he took that helmet off.
I told you. I remembered you.
I remembered you saying that in the first one, he was too pretty, which I disagree with. But when I saw him here, I was, first of all, like, fuck, he is hot. But also, I was like, this is Alexa's man.
Yes.
This is because how they fix his them.
Hair. Because he's also, his hair is always in this perpetual state of being a little wet. I don't know if it's from sweat or something. I don't, it's always in kind of a messy state. He always looks a little disheveled, and I am here for it.
That's your guy.
That's my man.
This is your man.
Yes. That's mine.
But back to their telepathy conversations. So first off, I love that she is so blinded by her rage at him for killing Han that every time they're talking, she doesn't say anything to him. At first, she doesn't say anything to him except,
"Murderous snake! You're too late. You lost. I found Skywalker. You are a monster. Gonna pay for what you did."
She doesn't say anything, but he starts off every single conversation. He's like, "What's going on here?" He's so intrigued. He's fascinated. He can't understand what's going on, but he is desperate to figure out what is happening that is connecting them and making this possible for them to. When he's like, I love the way he says,
"Can you see my surroundings?
You're gonna pay for what you did.
I can't see yours. Just you."
He's genuinely trying to, not for any malicious reason, he genuinely is curious what the answer is.
And then later when she gets splashed with the water and he has it on his glove. When he
feels the water on his hand, it is so freaking cool.
When, like you just said, when she says,
"When you call me a monster."
You are a monster.
Yes, I am.
I swear.
It's so good. The sound effects that they do with both of their voices are so cool. Yes. Everything about it, the way it goes back and forth between us seeing each of them and them looking around, mm-hmm. and us trying to figure out what it is that they can and can't mm-hmm. see. And then Luke comes out from behind her and yeah. says something and he can hear Luke.
Yes. And what I will say is that there are a lot of things that in the next one, JJ will retcon out of. He'll say like, forget that, forget that, forget this. But this, he's like, you know what? You have something here, Ryan. This person, they triple down on this in the next one. And then I love in the final scene when they're talking, she's like venting to him about how she came here. She thought she'd find answers. It was as if like a husband and a wife were having a conversation before bed.
"I thought I'd find answers here. I was wrong. I'd never felt so alone." "Neither are you."
And she's talking to him about how like she thought that she would find herself when she came here. And he's just like listening. And as she talks about her thoughts and feelings, and then that's when they decide they're going to try and touch. And he takes off his glove.
Their connection was insane.
And they're not even in the same room. It's insane.
So wait, still, we haven't gotten back to what else you hate.
Oh, okay. Well, the other part that I hate, I don't enjoy any of the Poe, Rose, Finn story. I think it's kind of wheel spinny and stupid because Admiral Holdo doesn't tell Poe the plan why.
Yeah, why?
Why? Does anybody have a good reason? Because I can't think of one.
And it seems like, okay, actually, maybe I was confused. Maybe you can clear this up for me.
Sure.
All that time when she's not telling him, I thought, wait, is she bad? Is it that she's actually secretly bad?
And that's why I think I'm wondering, are they hiding it from the audience? Because you're maybe supposed to wonder that. Because I think when I first saw it, I wondered that too.
Because then toward the end, when she has that conversation with Leia and we find out she's going to sacrifice herself.
Yeah.
Then I realized, okay, so she's not bad. But then why was she acting like that toward him?
Good question.
But then when she's on the ship by herself, there's another moment where I don't know if we're all supposed to think this or I just was like not following it right, but uh-huh. there was another where I was like, wait, is she?
Oh, you still thought she was bad? Okay, by that point, yeah. I thought I knew she was bad.
Maybe that was when Poe was saying one of his many, many, many things. when he can't understand what's going on and he sort of like almost closes his eyes and feels into it. And it's like, oh, he, oh, this is what they're thinking. This is what, you know how he.
Yes. To me, the whole thing, if you plot it all out, was a big waste of nothing. She's wasting time to get everybody to safety, but she didn't need to not tell Poe that to still waste the time.
So she sent him on the mission.
She didn't send anybody on a mission.
She didn't. Who sent him?
Nobody. He came up with a mission because he thought nothing was being done.
Wait, he came up with the mission to go find the Codebreaker?
Yes.
Who told him about the Codebreaker?
Finn and Rose come up with the code breaking plan themselves because they're talking when in the escape pod conversation after she stuns him and all that, they come up with the fact that the way that the new order is tracking them through light speed is by using a simple tracking device.
And that if they
break in there and disable it, that's all that would be required to stop them. So then they came up with that idea together. And so they go to Poe and say, hey, if we break onto the ship, all we would have to do is disable their tracking device and then we can be free. Poe then doesn't tell Admiral Holdo because she's not telling him anything. And he keeps his plan secret.
If I must be the sole voice of reason, Admiral Holdo will never agree to this plan.
Yeah, you're right, 3PO. It's a need-to-know plan, and she doesn't.
That wasn't exactly...
All right, you guys shut down that tracker. I'll be here to jump us to light speed.
All it is a bunch of people doing their own thing because they refuse to talk to one another. It's a miscommunication plot.
But why?
What I think it is it was he knew where he wanted all the characters to end up, and that was what he came up with. I didn't find that whole part of the movie to be that entertaining. And I found myself constantly saying, I don't get it. Why isn't she saying anything? Why isn't she telling him? It was frustrating.
And we still don't know why. Like, no one...
Because he's a hothead. It's because he's a hothead that she thought maybe by telling him the plan, he would still be annoyed with the plan and not want to do it.
Wait, and what was the plan?
The plan is to just wait until they can load up the transporters with fuel so that they can put people on them and then sneak by the Empire without them knowing.
And she knew if she told him the plan was to wait, that he wouldn't want to do that.
But the point is that by not telling him anything, he still did what that he would have done if he had heard the plan was wait.
Right.
So that's not like that great and entertaining. So I think like half of the movie is a wash. It's really not that funny. Poe's by himself a lot of the time. He's not with Finn or Rose. So it's not funny and none of the dialogue is that good. Like you said, Laura Dern is really not that great. And then Finn and Rose's whole story also becomes silly because they're with Benicio, who ends up double crossing them and turning on them and that. And then that whole thing backfires in a major, major way. That is the reason that Holdo's plan doesn't work. Because her plan would have been fine if they didn't get captured by the New Order and tell them that that's what they were doing.
Right.
Then they wouldn't have shot
Benicio told them that. If he had a mustache, he would have twirled it.
100%. You know who also needs a twirling mustache is Admiral Hux. His lines are so ridiculously sinister.
He also needs a new makeup artist.
Yeah. What's up with that? The only thing about that whole slot that I like is one of the coolest things of all of Star Wars. When she jumps to light speed and slices those ships in half and the sound goes out.
Oh my God, that's the cool moment I was going to bring up, Alexa.
That is one of the sickest fucking things that has ever happened.
Like, Oppenheimer could never.
Yeah. Please. I remember when we saw it, because in the theater, it is even more dramatic. It was like extreme sound to dead silence. It was so cool. And then the reverb sound that it makes. My God, is that cool.
Even the color of the white light and the way the ships are being sliced up. God, that was unbelievably cool.
God, it was amazing. Yeah, that's one of the top three moments. That's top notch.
Another smaller but very, very cool moment is when Rey is locked in to that fight with one of the leader's guards or whoever.
The red.
And her arms are actually like a lot.
So glad you're bringing this up.
So she lets go of the lightsaber to then reach under and pick it up. I felt, first of all, it looked so cool. She was so cool. And it's symbolic.
Symbolic.
It's the theme that I've been talking about this whole time. maybe you're laughing because you think I'm looking too far into it. I don't think I am. Sometimes you have to let go and trust that you're going to be caught. 100%. That's what that was.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up because me rewatching this is the first time I'm watching this since I watched through Game of Thrones. And that move, switching the hands, is a pivotal thing for Arya Stark. He does it multiple times throughout the show, and it becomes one of the big moments in the very final season. And it was so cool to watch this and see it, because like, I don't know if it's any nod or anything like that. I highly doubt it. It came out the same, because I looked up, I was curious like where the years were, like where it fell. It had already been done on Game of Thrones, but it wasn't, the big moment hadn't happened yet. But what's funny is that Gwendolyn Christie, who plays Phasma, is a huge character on Game of Thrones that is actually sparring with Arya, and she does that move to her. It's just an interesting, weird coincidence that it was really cool to rewatch it and see. God, that fight scene, one of the very best. I love when Kylo kills Snoke, but I think, I don't want to like knock the direction of it, but I think it could have been directed better because he cuts to the lightsaber a little too soon. He gave away what was going to happen just a brief moment too soon. He should have flashed to it before that they're talking and that happens, so that we know it's there, but not while he's monologuing about, oh, he's turning the lightsaber. He made it like a little too obvious. I wanted it to be more of a surprise.
I cannot be betrayed. I cannot be beaten. I see his mind. I see his every intent. Yes. I see him turning the lightsaber to strike true. And now, foolish child, he ignites it and kills his true enemy.
I liked it because I liked hearing him say that with such confidence, arrogance. Knowing what was coming for him.
But man, when he slices him and then watching it stay level and come and she grabs it, freaking A, and then it launches into a fight scene that is incredibly long, and they don't cut at all. There are no cuts to that scene. They let them fight the whole time and they kill every one of the guards.
The first shot of them standing pretty much back to back before they actually start.
Really one of my favorites. It's really a favorite scene of mine.
There were a couple other lines I really liked from the conversation that happens way earlier between the Supreme Leader and Kylo.
Uh-huh.
Kylo says something like,
"You have too much of your father's heart in you, young Solo."
"I killed Han Solo. When the moment came, I didn't hesitate."
"And look at you. The deed split your spirit to the bone."
"Excuse me?" And then when he says to him, because he knows how this is going to twist and cut him.
"Alas, you're no Vader. You're just a child. In a mask."
Oh my God. And
he sealed his fate by saying that.
He did. He really did. And Adam's face when he says that, his lip almost quivers a little bit. He is
unbelievable.
It stings him on so many levels because he knows to a certain extent that he's right. He is just a child and he really isn't ready. He doesn't feel ready for what's going on. So much of what what he does and how he acts is because he's acting out because he feels alone.
Yes. And when he gets rattled, he behaves like a child.
Yes. Because he then throws yet another tantrum in that elevator.
Even later when he thinks he's shooting Luke.
Yeah.
And he's screaming more.
Yeah.
Right before they're about, well, we think they're going to fight, I guess. Mm-hmm. They don't really end up fighting. But when he first pulls his lightsaber out, he drops his coat off his shoulders.
Well, please, when he drops the robe, dropping the robe, that is vintage Star Wars. That is classic Jedi battle stuff. I fucking loved that. That was so good that he dropped his robe like that.
It is iconic, but then it is immediately ruined when he takes out his lightsaber and stomps his foot as he turns it on.
Well, foot thing was really deliberate. They hammered it. They hammered it too much. The feet stuff is really because of the loop thing. They really emphasized his groundedness on the salt because they wanted to show you that Luke is not there.
That is so stupid. Wait a minute. They had Kylo stomp his foot.
Well, I don't know if that's like why, but they clearly, it was
They can show it at other times, like, because we see,
yes,
right.
You see him when he, but they were, there was a lot of over-exaggerated feet things going on in that scene.
Well, because the stomp needed to be reeled in. It looked ridiculous.
I didn't catch it. Honestly.
It was also silly when he has that guy taste the ground.
Salt, and he's like salty.
Why?
Yeah, that was dumb Marvel shit again.
Salt.
Speaking of dumb shit that's not Marvel, the way they had Leia float through space.
Thank you. I was waiting for us to get to this. I'm surprised this hasn't come up sooner. Yeah. What is this?
I swear to God. Why are you making her fly through space like that?
I don't know. I don't know where this came from. I don't know why they did it.
It was like they put her in wires and told her to pose and just stay there.
Like, ugh. It's like
it
weird.
Was very, very, very
weird.
She's
got her hand out and it's very strange. The concept on its own was really a bizarre choice to make that she's going to be in space, basically dead.
With space dust all over
and
herself.
Then she's gonna be like, yeah, sort of like mummified looking, and
yeah,
and
it was
then,
very weird.
And then she's gonna float through like a,
if they put a broom between her legs,
if it had different music and editing, it would look as though it was some kind of weird fan parody edit. It wouldn't,
yes.
It didn't look like a real thing that was in Star Wars.
I need someone to edit her into Hocus Pocus.
100%. The Hocus Pocus thing is right on. That's exactly what it looks like.
Why did they do that?
They did it because they needed somebody else to be in charge. Why did they need somebody else to be in charge? They had just shown Leia. Oh, because they needed somebody else to be in the ship, went through the light speed and died, I guess. But couldn't they have had her preoccupied in some other manner? Like, why did the reason she was unable to be in charge be that she was, you know, medically in this coma because she was suspended in space? It was very, very weird. How could you not have mentioned R2 and Luke's reuniting? R2 and Luke's little scene on the Falcon when he sees him again?
R2? R2. Yes. Yeah, I know. Hey, Sacred Island, watch the language. Old friend. I wish I could make you understand. But I'm not coming back.
And then gives him his little I'm done, blah, blah, blah. Like, nothing will bring me back. And then he plays the original Leia message from A New Hope.
Nothing can make me change my mind.
Years ago, you served my father in the Clone Wars. Now he begs you to help him in his struggle against the Empire. I regret that I am unable to present my father's request to you.
It was a cheap move.
But my ship has fallen under attack, and I've made my mission to bring you to order on Spain. This is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Yeah, I don't don't know why that didn't, should have stuck with me more than it did. I think you told me, I must have been last year or the year before, because I asked, because Carrie passed, I knew that she was in the last one, and I was saying, like, how is that possible? And I think maybe you said they bring her back as a hologram?
No, she's not as a hologram. They CGI her.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, in my memory, you said that they bring her back as a hologram, which makes sense. But I think when I was watching that, I was thinking, oh, that's actually like a cool way to do it since she's gone.
No, they
bring
that.
Her back in the last one like that. But anyway, so that was why I wasn't present in the
moment.
You weren't
present
in
the scene.
I was thinking about that.
The other thing I think that is gotten absolutely right is the way Luke goes out. I love Luke's death, how he chooses to use his last bit of energy, chooses to accept the Force again and utilize it to save his friends and family. That is Luke, him returning and using all of his strength and power to come up with this brilliant plan to project himself when he's not really there. I love the scene between him and Leia. And also, I think watching it back when you know he's not there, I think it's immediately obvious to me that she knows he's not there. When she sees him and he sits down, and then obviously when she touches him, she knows he's not there. But I think even before then, she can tell. The look on her face and just how she acts, she knows. And when he hands her the dice from the Millennium Falcon.
I know what you're going to say. I changed my hair.
It's nice that way. Leia. I'm sorry.
I know. I know you are. I'm just glad you're here. At the end.
I came to face him, Leia. And I can't save him.
I held out hope for so long, but I know my son's gone.
No one's ever really gone.
I don't want to cry again today.
They don't have many words, but what they say is just... And then when he goes out there, I think how he plays it with Ben is just brilliant. He keeps himself completely composed and just knows how it's going to just rile him up to a degree that is going to make him go insane.
I loved when he walked out of that cloud of smoke from all the shooting and he brushed his shoulder off. It was so cute.
And then one of the best callbacks when he says to him, they have a couple of different, you know, jabs back and forth, yada, yada. But the best callback is when he says to him,
strike me down in anger and I'll always be with you.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Incredible.
But he adds, just like your father. Oh my God. And then his closing line.
See you around, kid.
I just love it.
And because if Han was in that situation, that's what he would have said to him.
Yes.
Because at that point, you know, there's no possible other outcome.
Yeah.
There's no saving him.
If there is, not through this means. He's not going to talk him out of it. Not when not when things are like this. He's not going to, in this moment, across the field, going to talk him down and say, Ben, you're good. You can be on the good side.
I also loved that when we see, like, the final shot that we see of him is from behind.
Please, I'm going to cry. Like that scene of him on the rock and his theme plays and the two suns are setting, please. And it is absolutely perfect to watch him disappear. Oh God, it is perfect. Then that is weirdly ruined. I hate the stupid conversation that Rey and Leia have about it when they're on the Falcon, because it's too heavy-handed. Again, when Rey's dumb ass line, when she's like,
Luke is gone.
I felt it. But it wasn't sadness or pain, it was peace and purpose.
I felt it too.
Yeah, we got that, Ray. We don't need you to explain that. We understood it. Thanks for spoon-feeding that to us, though. The beautiful shot we just saw before this scene, that would have been sufficient to this.
I thought it was more like her saying that out loud as she was realizing it.
I know,
like,
but
not
it was
really for us.
I don't think it was for us, but like it was just stupid.
Yeah.
I think that should have been cut completely, and it should have gone right from to the final scene. I don't know how you don't cut on the Suns, but I guess I'm not Rian Johnson. But we get the final scene, which I don't know. I don't love, mostly because I think I didn't get on board for the whole message, and it feels a little messagey to me, that it's pushing the force is everywhere and everyone can do it and it's the new generation of Star Wars. And I wasn't getting that from the whole thing. And then it felt at the end that was the real like period he was putting on it.
Yeah, it did feel a little messagey. But I thought seeing those kids and how they paralleled the big three characters now was cool. It was a little on the nose, but I thought it was cool. And I loved him with his Luke Skywalker toy. Just something about that was so, I don't know, just touched my heart so much that I could deal with the messagey aspect. And him, and then the kids, you know, like looking out into space. I just thought that was cool.
I mean, it's a beautiful shot, and him picking up the broom and the way he holds it, it's really, really, really good.
And may the force be with us.
May the force be with you.
May the force be
You've got what I've said it enough.
May the force be with you always.
May the force be with you,
Rey. The force will be with you.